you're here. Fellowship's real, knowing you're near.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, January 7th, 2020. It still seems weird to be saying 2020, but here we are, the first Tuesday in this new year. Thank you, God, for a new year, a new start, a new day. And it's Tuesday, and what I love about Tuesdays is it's Testimony Tuesday. We're returning to our times of sharing people's faith journey, how God has been at work in their life, how they were brought to or wooed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and some of their faith journey. So we have a special guest we'll have introduced in just a moment. And so as we launch into this new year and this new week, it's an exciting time to just be alive and continue to pray up our expansion. We're hoping to hear from the FCC in 2 to 4 months. We got through the window. December 30th ended the time where if anyone wanted to file a petition to deny, they could have held up things. So it seems like we've cleared that hurdle, and now we're just praying up how God will bring together the right person at the FCC to approve the acquisition of these 15 stations so that the Great News Radio Network will be 19 stations strong in the days ahead. So we appreciate your year-end support and all the special gifts that came in. Thank you for that, and we'll have more to say in the coming days. But by way of introduction, I'm going to have one of my favorite voices introduce his pastor. Richard Berkey has been talking about Pastor Adam Tolbert for many weeks, and he said, Mark, can I bring him in sometime? He's so gifted at preaching and teaching. He's been at our church for about 11 years. That's the First Baptist Church of Hoopston, and I think you're going to really like him, and I do. In fact, thank you, Pastor Adam, for coming early. We had times of sharing, of testimony, and it's been delightful. But Richard, what do you want to say about your pastor that you appreciate most?
Oh, Mark, it's a real joy today to be here together with you and Pastor Adam, and what a great privilege it is for me to bring Pastor Adam in. He's a great guy, a great friend of mine, as well as a pastor, as well as my pastor. And this time, I'm going to turn it over to you and him, and may God bless both of you and your work that you do.
Yeah, Richard wanted to be behind the scenes, but I can't ever let anyone who wants to be behind the scenes stay behind the scenes. But Richard, as many of you know, is one of our top salespeople with the Prime Life Times. And at the young age of 79, he came on board and said, hey, I want to help. I love the paper. And so he's been serving our ministry for, you're getting near your second year and helping out. He delivers papers all over the area. I think he has the most stops of anyone. And he's going strong. When are you going to be 80?
I've already passed that 80 mark.
When was that?
Back in November, I went over the hill.
Okay.
Hey, that means you're going to have to cut back in your work, Richard.
Nope. We're going to increase your workload.
Thanks, Mark.
Well, Pastor Adam, I know I had asked you before, but you've been married to your beloved Jessica for almost 20 years. That'll be coming up. And you have been serving at the First Baptist Church of Hoopston for these 11 years. And you have Sunday school at 9:30 in the morning, and then church service at 10:30. And then an evening service Sunday nights at 6 p.m., which many churches don't offer anymore. But you were saying what's unique or special or why we continue to do it is others attend in the evening services that may not make it in the morning or for whatever reason because of their schedules and such. Mm-hmm. They come out in the evening. You said that you had some background in teaching Greek. You've held courses for other pastors, and you've done that from time to time. We had a kindred spirit talking about Israel trips. You've taken a number of groups to Israel over the years. You have your Master of Divinity from the Detroit Baptist Theological Seminary, and I think you said you got your bachelor's from Bob Jones University. Mm-hmm. You have 2 daughters and a son, and I think they're all musical or sing.
Correct.
Do you sing as a family?
Yes.
Okay, so is Jessica a part of that also? also?
He's got a beautiful voice, Mark.
Okay.
Tremendous.
The First Lady, Jessica. And I asked you, do you have favorite verses or passages? And one of the first that came to mind, you said, well, Mark, there's so much in Scripture and so much to love and appreciate about the Scriptures, the life of Paul, just about anything Jesus said in his many stories and parables. But you said Hebrews 11:6. So let's begin there. Why Hebrews 11:6? And what can our listener glean from your thoughts on that? Or what can they expect to maybe receive out of Hebrews 11:6?
Well, thank you for having me, Mark, and thank you, Richard, for introducing me to Mark, and we just had such a delightful time before we went on. Hebrews 11:6 is important because of the misunderstanding today concerning faith. It really goes on to define further what faith is, and that concept is introduced, as you know, in chapter 11, verse 1, by definition. But it says, without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that is coming to God must believe first and foremost. It doesn't say that, but that's really what he's saying, that he is. And of course, we all know, those of us who study a lot, that what that means is the I Am, that he is the third person singular name of God. And that's the name in the Old Testament that God revealed himself to Moses there in the burning bush, you know, and went on to prove to Moses that he doesn't have to worry about anything, Moses, but that God will take care of everything, because he defines as the I Am, as the he is. He defines reality. So many times we don't have faith because we let other people define reality, or we let the news define reality, or we let our fears define reality. And none of those things are real most of the time. What's real is what God says, and what will happen is what God says will happen. And mankind doesn't have really any say in that. Ultimately, we can influence certainly our life, other people's lives, but ultimately, God has to either allow or disallow what we do or what other people do. And so that's why I love that verse. And then it goes on to say, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is the I Am, you know, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I love that verse because that part of that verse isn't so much intellectual, but it's inspirational and motivational. And that's really where my struggle lies so many times. You know, I'm like anybody else. Sometimes I don't feel like getting out of bed either, even though I'm a pastor and they say, hey, you got to come preach. But I just had surgery, and when I was in the Army, I got injured and so forth. And I put it off for so many years. Finally, I didn't have a choice but to get major surgery. But, you know, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And the more we seek him through obedience and prayer and forgiveness and all the things that Jesus says, the more we seek him and the more we yield to the wooing of the Spirit in our lives, the more he rewards us.
Yeah.
You know, and the better and greater and more satisfying and lovelier our Lord Jesus Christ is. And that's why I love that verse.
Yeah, I like that one part, the beginning, for without faith it is impossible to please God. And I'm thinking about it. That means it's possible to please God, that we as human beings can bring pleasure or like an encouragement to God.
Amen.
Like a takeaway. Hey, listener, today, because of your faith, that can be like a pleasing aroma, or I'm not sure how exactly it works, but that we can please God. What an exciting thing to think about today, that we can bring pleasure to God. Yeah, that's a great one. For without faith, it's impossible to please God and to take those faith journey steps. And maybe, Pastor Adam, for the skeptic or maybe the person unfamiliar with having a relationship with God, can you take us through a little of your faith journey? Because we know that the sovereign God who created the universe, that created life, that created everyone. So if somebody is tuned in today and they don't know of God, they were created, they were fashioned because God desired to bring them into this world, but much more than that, to spend an eternity with them. Maybe you can help somebody understand that God does care and love them through your own faith journey.
Sure. Thank you, Mark. I'd love to do that. I'd love to help you, if you're listening today, in understanding how much God loves you. For me, I was raised in a public school and very familiar with all the arguments of evolution and macroevolution, you know, technically, and microevolution, as you all know, is a little bit different than macroevolution. But ultimately, I was schooled in some of that in Tennessee in a public school system. But they did still spank when I was in there. So
yes.
I got 13 spankings in the third grade for talking. I didn't realize I was going to be a preacher. And I appreciate that teacher if she's listening.
That was like a foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Maybe this guy has.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I wasn't talking about Jesus. I was talking about other things. But what I decided to do is I decided to read the Bible on my own because I had heard all these arguments against the Bible, and I didn't know which denomination, which church to go to. So I started reading the Bible because of wanting to understand the purpose and meaning of life, and actually was dating a girl that it didn't work out with her, and that's one of the reasons I joined the Army. But in the midst of waiting to leave for the Army, I said, hey, I'm just going to read it on my own because I don't know which church to go to.
So you're about 18, 19, 20?
19.
Okay.
And it was Valentine's Day, and I was I was with a girl that I knew and at a dance, and I left her at the dance. And I said, you know, you can find a ride home with somebody else, which was easy for her. She was beautiful. But she was interested in some things I was losing interest in, if you catch my drift. So I went back, and I continued to read about Jesus. And then when he said two words to me, and those of you who have been regenerated, you know when you're regenerated by the Spirit of God, the words jump out at the page at you. Or if you're hearing preaching, they jump, you know, they grab and hold your attention like nothing else. And that message, those two words were follow me. Hmm. It's interesting that I was fascinated with Jesus's miracles and just the benevolence and the love he had to go out of his way to help people. But when he said that to me, Mark, I thought, you know, I've never really truly placed my faith solely in Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now, I've prayed the prayer. I was a great Southern Baptist. I've heard the gospel 100 times, you know. But there had never been a time where I said, Lord, I am receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior. It was always just, I believe you died for me. But there was never an emphasis on the resurrection or the Lordship of Christ. And so for the first time, I repented. And when I repented by myself on Valentine's Day, you know, back in 1994, I think it was, because I graduated high school in 92, on that particular day, I felt a peace come over me, mm-hmm. which now I know was the presence of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Went in the Army, started preaching in the Army, found a church there in the Army off Fort Riley, Kansas, off the fort, and then went to Bible college, met my wife. She sat next to me in chapel. Actually, I didn't talk to her for the first semester because I had borrowed her Bible, accidentally wrote in it, and she gave me she just read me the riot act.
Yeah.
And then I realized, you know, I shouldn't have wrote in her Bible. But I was a fairly new Christian. She's this cultured Christian from Detroit, and she's right, you know. But that forced me to respect her a little bit more and kind of look up to her. But the next semester, God had us run into each other again. Hmm. And at that point, I'd remembered her pastor. He had preached a revival when I was in the Army. And I went forward every night when he preached when I was in the Army and made a decision for Christ. For those of you who are listening who have never been forward at an altar, you know, we had that a lot where I'm from in Tennessee growing up. But that doesn't save you. It is this recognition, realization that, as I said, I had tried everything else, Mark. I mean, I had, you know, I just wanted to find out for myself who is Jesus. And since then, I've studied archaeology, as you have, in Israel and all these things. And when Christ makes that claim on our life, we don't necessarily like it. But what happened to me was I realized and recognized that he loved me. Like you said, he loved me unlike other people loved me, that he would always be faithful to me. And I was just tired of, you know, getting converted to Christ. I was tired of being let down mm-hmm. by not just good people, family members, but by people who wanted to use me for something or whatever they mm-hmm. wanted from me. And so if you're listening today and you don't know the Lord, I can tell you this. You can try everything else, and maybe you haven't yet and you're going to. But if you're like me, like Solomon, that tried everything, you know, when Christ says he's going to do something for you, he always does it. And he is a friend that he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. So for me, when I trusted Christ, I meant it. And since then, you know, he's never left me. I've never been lonely. My wife is a tremendous Christian. She's a Messianic Jew, born again Jew. But I needed somebody to kind of keep me in line, and she was that person, mm-hmm. kind of like my third grade teacher, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a wonderful helpmeet, and her and I have been serving the Lord together now for many years.
In case you just tuned in, we have Pastor Adam Tolbert. He's the pastor at the First Baptist Church of Hoopston. And you mentioned something. I think it's an important point. Many people might have an intellectual assent like, oh, yeah, Jesus is this great prophet or a great man, or, yes, he's the Son of God. But maybe they've never personalized or said, Lord, I need to surrender to you. You're more than just the Savior of the world. You're my Savior. It's because of my sins you went to the cross. And then the realization that your sins are forgiven, that you can really come to him. That 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so for some people, as they're even looking at Scripture, because they haven't asked Jesus into their heart and identified him as their personal Savior, the words don't leap off the page. They're kind of going through the motions. So having just the intellectual assent, the understanding that Jesus is God and that he's the Savior of the world, sometimes isn't enough till it's personal, till you really ask him to take away the sin, that you recognize that he suffered on the cross for you. And so that happened. And then what? And so you meet up with this Jessica. You're kind of fond of her. Apparently you get married and such, but when did the calling come to devote your time, your energy, your effort to become a pastor?
Okay, I was actually, they were trying to get me to reenlist in the Army. They were getting ready to send me to Ranger School, and the Lord called me to preach exactly at that time. And so I was at Fort Irwin on a Fort Irwin is, you know, over by Edwards Air Force Base. Anyway, I was over there. And my I was witnessing to people while we were in a tent city. It's where they trained for desert warfare. And my friend tells me, he says, if you just start preaching, this is one of my Army buddies, he says, if you just start preaching, you can reach a lot more people. Because we were surrounded by about 30 people, and I was witnessing to everybody. And there was a big concrete pillar there, and we were in a tent city. And there was a big concrete pillar. And you know, I said, you're right. So I climbed up on that pillar, and I just started preaching, and I felt, you know, it's a lot more effective than trying to witness individually because people were interrupting me. And so I wouldn't describe my calling as much intellectual, I mean, as much emotional as it was. It just made sense practically to preach. Now, a lot of people describe calling a different way, but I think it's because God wires people differently when it comes to their calling. But mine was just, it just made sense to preach, because it's more effective than one-on-one interaction. So since then, I've preached a lot. I've preached at some churches while I was in the Army. But I realized I need to learn Hebrew. I need to learn Greek. So that's why I went on and did some studying formally before I became a pastor, because I didn't want to, like a doctor, you don't want to do surgery on somebody who don't know what you're doing and take out their heart and you're going for the lungs, you know.
Now, do you remember what that message was, or was there stirring in your heart? Were you like studying Scripture?
Well, the first message I preached, one of the chaplains was, he thought it was kind of funny, but it was in Isaiah in chapter 53, describing the Messiah. And I was talking about prophecy being fulfilled, you know, concerning who Jesus was, you know, 700 years before. But my second message was, I preached out of Leviticus about, in a church, about confronting those that we love, having enough love to actually confront them and not hating your brother in your heart. And that was in Kansas at a church in around Wichita, Kansas. And the pastor had helped me with an outline. And it's just something that, you know, if you're called to sell cars and you enjoy that, that's a calling. I mean, but we're talking about something supernatural when we're talking about the calling to preach. But I think everybody does have a calling, and every calling is sacred. It just so happens some people are good at fixing teeth. Some people are good at, like you are, Mark, at hosting radio shows. And if you're called to preach, you really can't do anything else and be happy.
It's interesting, one of your first messages or first church services where you preach was on Isaiah, because that's your goal and your passion for this year. I think you're going to be taking many in your congregation through Isaiah, some of the nuts and bolts of Isaiah, along with practical applications of Isaiah.
Right.
Give us a sneak preview. What do you hope to accomplish this year through the First Baptist Church of Hoopston?
Well, you know, they call it the Little Bible because it's 66 chapters, and because the Bible has 66 books, and the first section of Isaiah is dealing more with the law, okay, And then the last section is dealing more with God's mercy and the future. And so there's a parallel there, similar to the New Testament. But throughout Isaiah, there is this emphasis on the gospel of Christ. And so in that way, I think it parallels the Bible. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of messages on hope, okay? And so we're living in a culture today that has really lost hope. People today don't have hope. And why have they lost hope? Because they've lost Christ. They've lost their vision of Christ.
Right.
You know. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to encourage people this year who may be despondent. You know, they've tried everything else. Nobody loves them. Hey, there's hope. And that's what Isaiah was trying to do, was trying to encourage and inspire a nation who had turned its back on God.
Right.
You know, and say, hey, if we turn back to the Lord, guys, God can help us.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it, Pastor Adam Tolbert from the First Baptist Church of Hoopston. You need a church family this Sunday. 10:30 a.m. is the church service, Sunday school at 9:30, and there's a 6 p.m. Sunday night service each and every week. So, Pastor Adam, in closing, what's something that you most appreciate about your congregation?
Our congregation is really, really good at helping those who are discouraged. Mm-hmm. And so God brings these people into our congregation. Maybe they were on alcohol or they're still on alcohol or drugs or whatever and divorced or going through a divorce. And God will bring these people into our church. And the people in our church just love them. They don't judge them. And we accept them where they're at. And I think we're extremely encouraging to people. That's, I think, one of the reasons that we're there in Hoopston.
Thank you, Pastor Adam, for being a part of today's edition of Mark and Friends. And thank you, Richard, for bringing your pastor in. You're kind of like the Barnabas, cheering on your pastor. He needs to be on the radio. He's so good. He's so gifted. He gives great messages. I'm growing, and I'm in my 80s now and still growing.
Yes,
so
that's right.
Appreciate you too, Richard. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Thank you.
God send you.